Welcome back once again to another episode of WVU Marketing Communications Today. Coming live to you from the campus of West Virginia University, it's a syndicated show that sits squarely at the intersection of data-driven decision-making and modern marketing techniques. With the man who's going to make sense out of this mystery for us, Mr. Michael Lynch. Hey, Michael.
Hey, Kristen, so glad to have you on board today. One of the places I kind of live is in loyalty marketing, customer relationship marketing, and direct marketing. And one of our mantras is the right message to the right person at the right time through the right media. And I just see how nicely that might dovetail into content marketing. So, from your point of view, exactly what is content marketing?
Well, that absolutely does get right into content marketing. It's a strategic approach to marketing, which is not always what we see in the realm of marketing and in marketing departments happening. But luckily, it's become a buzzword in the last few years. And so we're seeing more people being more strategic about creating content and actually distributing that content to the right people, to their ideal customer, their targeted demographic. And it's just more concise, it's clearly defined, and the best part is it turns into a profit. It's turning that person into a customer, and that's what good content marketing, I feel like, is defined as.
Well, that's great. Now, why do you think the marketers struggle so much to create great content?
Well, there's a lot of stuff out there, and it's hard to be strategic, and I've been in a marketing department before. I work with marketing departments, do it on my own for my own business, and we're just being like thrown in many different directions, and a lot of content is just being pushed out, and I think people have this sense of urgency to get the content out, and I see it every day. Somebody sends me something, oh, we need to do something with this, and when I'm like, let's slow down, let's be more strategic, let's make sure that it looks and feels like our brand, and then also let's make sure it's the right message for that target demographic. That, to me, is the most important part, and I feel like people struggle with that because they just feel like this sense of urgency to get the content out as quick as possible, whether it's from a boss or just a client, but it's not always the best approach of doing it. It's more getting that content and making it work for your brand and work for what you're really, you know, your campaign, what you really want it to do, and also have a good call to action in there. So that's a lot of the struggle I see every day in small business, medium-sized businesses, solopreneurs, everyone struggles with it.
Wow. I think one of the problems that a lot of companies have is really understanding their customer. They don't really know who their customer is, and very often they don't really know how the customer is using their product. So what would you say the first step in knowing your customer really is?
My favorite thing to do is talk to customers, current customers. So when I start working with a client, that I know you have some of your favorite customers and some of these customers that have become cheerleaders and friends to you. Let's talk to them and ask them, you know, why did they start using you? Like the best thing is like get a testimonial from them. We can take that testimonial and dissect it and say, okay, this is why this person keeps coming back. This is why they like this piece of content or they didn't like this one piece of content. That's probably one of the first steps. And another thing that I see that's very effective, and I always tell people, if you're not doing this, you need to start doing it yesterday, is testing your content. Just because a piece of content worked yesterday doesn't mean it's going to work today. So we have to continuously test our content. So I do a ton of A-B testing, you know, different photos to different messages, different calls to action to maybe even the same demographic to see what they're wanting right then. I also do a lot of tracking, thankfully for technology. That has come about a lot more recently than it has, you know, 10 years ago when I started my business. Some of the stuff we're doing now might as well have been on the Jetsons because I would have never thought to do it. But now we can actually put pixels on our website and track people and know exactly what those people are doing when they get to our website and who those people are. So that's my favorite. That's one of my favorite things is the analytics of things. I study website analytics, so everything kind of working together. I do look at what my competitors are doing, look at what my clients' competitors are doing, what's working, what's not. And then I think a big thing is just to stay relevant and stay up to date on what's coming around the bend. Marketing, the thing that says has changed more in the last 5 years than it has in the last 30. And so it's consistently staying on top of what's coming and what to do next. So going to conferences, I'm personally very active in the Chamber of Commerce, trying to stay in tune with customers and even the client side of things, what they're wanting right then in terms of content, because that's what I'm seeing is the sales approach now. It's not the hard sell anymore. It's the giving them content that they want, educating your consumer and really, you know, showing that you're the expert in your field, and then they'll come back to you again and again.
Yeah, it's funny. You say that going back 5 years, I go back a little bit more than 5 years. And I think one of the biggest changes I've seen in marketing is your ability to track things, your ability to actually put numbers to your programs, numbers to your campaigns. And now when people that are outside the marketing department are asking about your results, you can very quickly turn to those results and actually put numbers behind what you're doing. I recently read an article that said that the best people to get to work in content marketing are skateboarders. Interesting article.
So,
who should be doing content marketing in the organization?
Well, everybody, I think. What it comes down to is a lot of times people think content marketing is a one-person job. It's kind of like the same thing as social media. Oh, we'll just let one person do that. But if we bring in a committee, like some of my best content is pushed out by clients that have total buy-in from their employees. They've created committees that have people from all different departments, all different levels. A lot of times people want to give me a committee of all the C-suites, and I'm like, I don't want all those people. I want the people that are working with your customers every single day, because they're hearing all the questions that we can answer, all the struggles we can find solutions for with content marketing and push it out. Because if your current customers are having those issues, then there's other people out there having those same issues. And if your brand can come in and make that a solution, then they're going to trust you with everything else in the terms of that industry, and banking and finance and, you know, and marketing, whatever it is, they're going to trust you. So I love to have a team together, and I pull my frontline folks. I pull different people from different departments, whether it's a physical, we get together in a boardroom and talk about content, or we have a Facebook group where we talk about content. Those people know their employees, they know their customers the best, and they can bring that to the table. So when we talk about, okay, here's some of our goals, here's an objective that, you know, the C-suite wants us to achieve. Now, what can you bring to the table to help us achieve that? They start bringing up stuff that other people in the room had never even heard of before, because they don't work with that distinct audience every single day, but that person on that committee does. So that's where I see not the best content coming out, is when it's not just one person's job, that we've decided, okay, we're going to make a committee and we're going to have it everybody's job to create content and show that we're the expert in our field. And then in turn, we're going to see more customers coming through the door.
That's wonderful. Now, how do these committees really help to break down who the ideal customer is, or what is the ideal customer?
So that's probably where I start. A lot of people just want to come in and they want me to like have my magic wand and like create all this fantastic content for them. And then when I make them go clear back to go, okay, who's your ideal customer? And they're like, well, you know, we'll take anybody. I'm like, no, no, no. We're going to talk about the person that you want to work with every single day. What does that person look like? One of the first things we do is probably basic marketing 101 that they're teaching in undergrad every single day. And that's just breaking down that target audience. So we talk about, you know, age and gender and what other things they're interested in. And we list those. And there might be a couple for each organization, depending on the different products and things that they do. But just getting that out there, I feel like, especially a committee like this of mainly non-marketers, it may be the first time they've ever thought about that. Because they're always told, everybody should be our customer, and we want everybody. We don't want to turn anybody away. And that's the truth, and most of the time we don't want to turn anyone away, but we also want to make sure that our content is marketing to our ideal customer, so then we only have to work with people that we love to work with every single day that really do believe in our products and services and want to buy. That's the key. So that first step is so important, because I feel like that target audience, if you don't know who your message is going to, then you're creating a lot of content that may never see a return.
When I meet with people and I ask, who is your customer? And very often you'll get an answer that sounds a lot like, well, everybody. And then when I circle back with them and ask them, well, is this group your customer? Well, no. Well, is this group your customer? Well, no. Well, do people who live here, are they your customer? Well, no. And little by little, you can break down exactly who the customer is, and that helps to focus the message. Now, again, back in the good old days, the message wasn't always very focused, and we very often would send out broad messages and these broad nets to try to catch as many fish as we possibly could. So exactly where do you see the line between traditional marketing, like I'm describing, broadcast marketing, and content marketing?
Well, I mean, there is a line of more of like a communication, you know, line where we want to make sure that we're communicating, you know, all the great stuff a brand's doing to everybody, because like we talk about sometimes, it's like it doesn't matter, depending on your objective, if you get the sale or not. It's more about the press and the PR part of things. So really, I go back to the objective of what kind of finding that balance is what they really want to see from it. You know, a lot of people are hung up in the numbers. I love data and I love numbers. And one of my favorite things to say is the numbers don't lie, especially when it comes to personal preference of content. But another side of things is the numbers don't always matter so much. You know, it can be about so much more. You know, I just had a client come off this huge event. They spent a ton of money on it. And I'm like, oh, I really hope you get your numbers. And one of the things she said to me is, I want the numbers, but I also want the good press from it, because I feel like that will do us justice for years to come. So really knowing what the objective is of your client when I'm working with people, that's what I try to find out from the beginning, is what they really want. And then I gear that content towards that, because that's what really matters. It doesn't really matter what I really want. Like, Of course, I want them to be successful and be profitable and all of this, but if they want something different from that, or if they're really caught up in the number of Facebook likes they have, then yes, we'll run a campaign and make them happy that way, but also try to push them in that direction of what I feel like is the next thing. And like you said, do we broadcast to everyone, or do we do more of this thing?
How has social media really come into how one does content marketing? Has it really kind of changed the game? Or have you simply morphed what you've been doing to make it work on social media?
Well, I definitely think that it's allowed us to reuse, recycle content. And I think it's allowed us to do that a lot more, because when I was an undergrad, you would write newspaper articles, let's say. Then it just died. You know, you sent it to the newspaper, the article ran, and then it was over. And now with social media, I feel like you could take that and you can break it down into, you know, tweets, and then you could put it on your website for a blog. You could do a podcast on it. You could do an infographic. You know, you could put it on your website to live for the next 6 months. So I feel like social and technology itself has really helped us be able to reuse content, which even now, content isn't the cheapest thing to produce. Sometimes we can get away with it a little bit cheaper, but definitely as it evolved, it used to be a lot more expensive to produce stuff. And so if we can get more longevity out of it and still keep seeing a return on investment, then that's going to make everyone happy to not have to invest as much money. Or if they're investing as much money, then they're still seeing that same piece of content being recycled, different forms and video and online, that will continue to come back up and attract new customers.
Yeah, it's funny. As a numbers geek myself, I think one of the most refreshing things I've seen in marketing recently is how many other numbers geeks and data geeks are kind of entering the marketing world. But how does digital technology, how has it really improved the ROI of content marketing?
Well, I think that's the big thing. It's allowed us to track, you know, a lot more. Even when I first started my business and we would look at social media and try to look at the analytics, it just wasn't there. It was almost just as well as, you know, any other traditional media when they would say, well, you know, we put this billboard up where we think this many people saw it. Now with all the pixels, all the Google Analytics, and I'm just kind of coming off the first of the month where I run all those numbers for everyone. So I'm like, oh, I can see how it's all working together, and we can really track referrals and we can track people. And then the part I like is kind of like the circle of life with that data, is that we can look and see who those people are and what they look like. So we can look at their demographic too. So then if we're like, oh wow, you know, this website's getting a lot of this demographic, which we're not even messaging, then maybe we need to start messaging those people, because they're organically coming to your website. If they're already coming to your website and we're not targeting them, then we need to target them, especially if they're coming to your website to buy. So I think data has come full circle. Yes, it's great to prove, I guess, you know, to the masses, like, hey, this does actually work when we do these strategies. But it's also really great to look at that other side of things and say, hey, maybe it's time, you know, maybe this audience we've saturated. Maybe it's time to move on to this audience because we're seeing more of this target demographic on your website, let's say, than ever before. Why aren't we messaging them? And then start a whole new cycle of content based on that.
How do you think brands should be measuring their ROI on content marketing today?
Well, you definitely should be. Definitely want to be measuring it for sure, because I feel like a lot of times we're like, well, that's not that much money to spend, so we'll just spend that much money. But then there's no tracking, and we don't really know if we are seeing an ROI. A lot of times money is the big indicator. Some of my clients don't think about any of the back end of things, but they want to see a certain, you know, maybe 5-digit number come up at the end after we run this campaign. But then we have to go back, I feel like, and look at everything. Time is a big thing. If it used a lot of our time, then absolutely we need to look at that. If the piece was inexpensive versus a more expensive piece we used in the past year, we need to take that into consideration too. So there's a lot of that back and forth when we talk about measuring return on investment, because you mentioned before, we used to spend a lot more money to have to produce something in the old days of marketing, right? You know, it cost a lot more money, but then we were seeing a bigger result. We don't necessarily have that much money come in to spend that much money in order to get a better return. We may be able to spend less money and get a smaller return, but that is continuous and we're able to reuse that content. So we kind of have to look in terms of those kinds of things too, just not that bottom dollar of how much came in versus what did we actually do to get that money to come in.
Denise, tell us about WV social media.
Yeah, absolutely. So I launched my business, it'll be 10 years in 2020, so I'm excited about that coming around the bend. And so I work with small businesses, medium-sized businesses, marketing departments to help come in with consulting, just to bring a different perspective to the group, as well as I do a lot of coaching for small businesses starting out to get their marketing on track, and have had pretty successful track record of getting those people to still be in business, which is a good thing, and also see the result of good marketing. So you can find me online at WV Social Media.
That sounds great, Kristen. Again, thank you so much for joining us today. And we really appreciate your explanation of content marketing and how our listeners can use it to definitely drive revenue and hopefully a lot of profits. And again, thank you very much, Kristen.
Great. Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to another episode of WVU Marketing Communications Today right here on the Funnel Radio Network for at-work listeners like you.